This is Now Innovating, a research to impact podcast from the Office of the Vice President Research at the University of Calgary with Dr. Preetma Chadha and Jordan Witzel.
Welcome back to another episode of Now Innovating, a Research to Impact podcast. I would like to take this opportunity again to acknowledge that Now Innovating is produced in partnership with CJSW on the traditional territories of the people of the Treaty 7 region in southern Alberta, which includes the Blackfoot Confederacy comprising of the Siksika, Piikani, and Kainai First Nations, as well as the Tsuut'ina First Nation and the Stoney Nakoda, including the Chiniki, Bearspaw, and Wesley First Nations. The city of Calgary is also home to the Métis Nation of Alberta, Region 3. Our guest today is, this week, assuming a new role here at the University of Calgary, and that is in part why we have invited Dr. Karen Benzies on the podcast. Karen is taking on the role of Director of Social Innovation in the Office of the Vice President Research. She is a professor in the Faculty of Nursing and Adjunct Research Professor with the Department of Pediatrics. Karen has a massive CV, so we would waste the entire 30 minutes of the podcast just going through everything that you have achieved, Karen. But thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. It's lovely to be here.
And it's been a busy day for you. It's going to be a busy first few weeks with the announcement that you are taking on the director role for social innovation. How does that leave you feeling?
I'm excited that we're embarking on that social innovation initiative through the VPRO office. I mean, it's an entrepreneurial place. Among universities that I'm familiar with, the connection between the University of Calgary and its city are among the strongest. And so this idea of social innovation has been percolating for years, probably for the 50 years or more that University of Calgary's been in existence. But what we're recognizing is that we need to work harder to bridge that gap between university and community. And my years of experience in community-based research suggest the community knows what it needs, but the community doesn't always have the skills or access to the resources that they need to show that the great work that they're doing is having an effect on society, on humanity, particularly the most vulnerable people. So this director of social innovation position is designed to help faculty and their graduate students engage with the community, to enable some of that work that's percolating that a lot of people do off the sides of their desks, to move forward in a much more cohesive and efficient ways. The university itself has so many activities related to social innovation, to entrepreneurial thinking through the Hunter Hub, Innovate Calgary. We have just so many examples here. And typically they're targeting different parts of the university. Some focus more on students. Some focus more on building startups like Innovate Calgary. Knowledge engagement focuses a lot more on establishing those relationships with our community partners in a much more cohesive and an ongoing way. But I think what we need is we need to enable faculty and we need to have an external view of what social innovation is at the University of Calgary.
Is it fair to say that it's a pretty scary endeavor for faculty to, quote unquote, step off of campus and engage with the community?
For some, I would say yes, Jordan. I was an associate dean research for years, and I mentored all of the new faculty when they first came to the Faculty of Nursing. And one of the things I always said was, get in your car. And so I think it's easier for some people than perhaps others to get in your car and then just go out there and be present and to build those relationships with community. communities, you know, they've worked with universities for years and really well, but usually just fragmented by the duration of a research study. So the research study ends, the data are collected, the researcher writes up their paper, and the relationship isn't sustained. And so social innovation, it's more difficult for that to happen when those relationships aren't sort of ongoing. And so I think that this work will begin to strengthen some of those relationships and create sort of the longer-term relationships.
Isn't this such a perfect example? And you sort of alluded to it at the very beginning, the uniqueness, the connection between UCalgary and the community. It is different than most institutions. There is a woven web here in the city that includes UCalgary. In that sense, there's no better place than to take on a role as a director of social innovation, no?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because so many of those relationships are ongoing with our community partners. And it doesn't matter, particularly community partners serving vulnerable populations. So the one I know best is CUPS, or formerly Calgary Urban Project Society. And you know, they have recognized early on that they wanted to show that the great work they were doing actually made a difference to the people they were serving. And that was why they reached out early on to the university. And, you know, many people are involved. School of Public Health Policy, Community Health Sciences, nursing for years. So they have had many ongoing relationships. The United Way is another one, and they've supported different projects that are often managed by researchers at the university, but completed in concert with community agencies. So Calgary is an amazing place. In fact, I've recruited new professors here, sitting on search and selection committees, just saying, you've got to come. Calgary's a can-do city. If you want to try something, they'll say, yeah, let's try it. And if that doesn't work, we'll try something else. So it's a can-do place. It's perfect.
It sure is.
But part of, I think, what the university can do with social innovation is we can take an idea and we can generate the evidence and we can test it. And we can develop proof of concept. We can do the economic analysis. Talk to government. Is this worth the investment? Is it not worth the investment? Look at the outcomes we're getting. And agencies know how to work with the people they serve. That's what they know best. So together, we can have social innovation like nowhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm. We often ask our guests about some of the barriers they have faced in their research to impact continuum. But let me ask you this. Are you, and let's frame it in the scope of society right now. We are up against some things. I think most would agree that we are going to stumble out of the pandemic with a potential mental health epidemic, amongst so many other social issues that will arise. What do you foresee as someone directing that ball? You're going to take the ball from researchers and hand it off to those community groups. What do you see as a massive barrier moving forward for you and your team?
Massive barrier. I don't pay attention to barriers.
I love it. See, this is... this is exactly why I touted you at the very beginning as being our best, our top guest. No knock against the other guests this season. But that statement alone underlines why you've been tapped as the director for social innovation, someone who very obviously is just ready to take on anything in front of you. And as I've underlined, with where we stand as a society, social innovation is going to have to run fast.
Absolutely. There's always a way. And one of the things that I've learned to do in my career, I was trained old school. You know, I was, you know, PhD, you were the expert. Two postdocs, wow, you were the expert. And I had to get over that. And I learned to listen. And every great social innovation that I've worked on with teams meant that sometimes my great academic ideas actually were wrong, and that I had to have the confidence to pivot and listen and pivot and go another direction. So I don't know if we've got time for an example.
Absolutely, we do.
So a few years back, the government asked us if we would be able to trial the Finnish baby boxes for families of new babies. They were maternity packages, gifts for families.
Okay.
And when we were engaged, they said, oh, well, we want mentorship. And this was the former minister at the time, who since passed away, the most amazing man. He said, we want mentorship. And our government contact said, oh, no problem. We have all kinds of volunteers working in parent link centers. And then I started going out to the community and talking to the executive directors. And they're going, well, we don't know where they are, but if they were around, we'd sure like to have them because we could use volunteers. So they didn't exist. So my smart idea of using mentors who were already existing in these agencies was basically incorrect. So I pivoted and I built a mentorship program where we provided training for grandmas and sisters and neighbors and friends to support moms of new babies. And it worked like a darn. You know, we had less depression, babies' development was better. But that was just a real, you know, clear example of how wrong academics can be and what can happen if you actually listen to community.
You used the term confidence to pivot. You had the confidence to pivot. When you were speaking, I thought, well, you were being very humble in that you were admitting to yourself, I'm wrong in my academic approach and let's try something different. What's the difference to you between confidence and humility?
Confidence is knowing and having the competence to do it. Academically, we'd probably call it self-efficacy.
Okay.
So you need the knowledge, but you also need the competence, the skill to do it. I think you need humility to be able to embark on those kinds of pivots in your work. And I think you probably need a little bit of both to be able to do it. But it's really, we talk a lot about sustainability because, you know, agencies, governments invest a lot of money in new programs. And what we see is a lot of investment that once the program's been implemented and you've got your outcomes, it erodes and the investment is gone. And so we talk a lot about sustainability, and sustainability needs that same kind of ability, the humility to recognize, well, it might not be right, but also the confidence to pivot and use inflection points in the process to build in sustainability. So it isn't just a one-off program. It's something that will continue, and it changes the culture in the area where you're actually working.
And what a perfect process in which to secure trust in relationships. And I mean, really, in the way you're speaking about being able to build up that woven fabric that is UCalgary and the community, it's relationships and trust.
It's relationships and trust. And it's being able to step up. You know, the agency needs something. They need feedback on a grant they're submitting. And it's the ability to say, yep, okay, I'll have it to you by midnight. Just give me 4 hours. I'll have it to you by midnight.
I saw a little bit of exhaustion in your face when you said that.
Well, you see, and that's stepping up.
Right.
My family's all launched. They're grown. They're gone. And I can afford the time to do that. And I'm willing because I'm committed to community and to vulnerable people and vulnerable children. And I can take the time to do it. Because I want to. I think it's the right thing to do. But not everybody can. People have other obligations. They're caring for elderly parents. You know, academics, if you asked any academic today, I just had a text from one of my former doctoral students. And, you know, her mom's really sick. And another one, you know, she has a faculty position. But her little guy, you know, she thinks he has COVID. You know, I don't have those kinds of responsibilities in my life right now, so I can do that. But we can't expect that of everyone. So I'm hoping with this social innovation initiative that we can offer social innovators with great ideas the opportunity to generate the evidence, the time and the space to engage with community, because it takes time. Mm-hmm. Like, get in your car. It takes time.
I love that. I love it.
It worked.
It applies so broadly to just get in your car, whether you're entrenched in a community and you've been here for 20, 30 years and you feel a little out of touch with the way things have been changing, get in your car and go explore again. If you're in a new city, if you're new to Calgary, or you've just moved to a different city and you're exploring your industry and your profession and trying to broaden the horizon of your family, get in your car. Or if you're trying to socially innovate, get in your car.
Get in your car. Try not to make assumptions about what is.
Yeah.
And ask questions.
Hmm.
Ask questions. And there's all kinds of questions. And you would be surprised when you start asking questions, the kinds of things that you learn that are very important to the world.
You alluded to the Social Innovation Initiative. And so let's get into that. Tell us about the SII as it will become to known.
As a reviewer of grants and manuscripts, I'm not a friend of acronyms.
Oh, thank you.
We'll do SII if you need to.
No, stop right there. This has been my personal complaint since I have joined the team. Oh, now my whole team's going to listen to this from the VPRO. Go, Jordan, we told you had to learn all of these acronyms. It is like drinking from a fire hydrant all in itself, just learning acronyms. So no, stop it. The Social Innovation Initiative. Tell us all about it, Garen.
Okay, so the first thing to point out is that social innovation is not new to the University of Calgary. We've had it. We know that a lot of people are doing it. We believe that sometimes they don't know they're doing it. Because our big problem is we don't have a definition here. And we've got a working definition that a great social innovation task force generated over the past year. But we're really working on some good solid research to create a definition of social innovation for post-secondary application. And if we have a good definition, then we'll be able to measure our outcomes and our impact. So that's one of the things, and that'll be a continuation of work that was done by the task force that actually launched the Social Innovation Initiative. So that piece is ongoing. We know that people are really very busy, and so we were thrilled to have a social innovation coordinator join the team. So Amy started on Wednesday. And so she's going to be able to help us drive and engage with faculty. We know there's a small amount of funding, not too much, but hopefully enough to incentivize faculty to move forward with some of their ideas for social innovation. And hopefully that small amount of funding will be able to give them some time to do that. That, and we know there's a lot of groups who have great ideas, but they haven't come together in an interdisciplinary way. Maybe multidisciplinary, where everybody's kind of doing their own thing in the same field, but really to truly understand it, interdisciplinarity, what's that big problem that we're trying to solve? So there's another small amount of money that we hope that we can use to bring together these groups to help them move forward with their ideas cross faculty, cross institute in better ways.
Let's sidestep a little bit, because I want to pick apart some of the language you're using in saying small amounts of money, small amounts of money. Funding for research is sometimes next to impossible to secure. Is it harder to get funding for social initiatives as opposed to maybe developing a new product that will help with cardiovascular disease?
It depends. So it's about fit between what it is that you're trying to do, what problem, what complex problem you're trying to solve, and who's interested in it and wants to make an investment in solving the problem. So it depends. You know, definitely for health research, as you described as sort of something for a cardiac problem, we've got very good, well-established vehicles for that. But that said, we know that other groups who are sort of philanthropically inclined want to make change as well. And it's finding the fit between what their interests are and the complex problem you're trying to solve. So I would say it's not about funding, and usually social innovation requires research to provide the evidence that it's actually the right thing to do in the context that you want to do it, because there's a lot of initiatives that worked well in one jurisdiction, and then you transport them without the charismatic PI to another jurisdiction, they don't work.
Mm.
So you still need to generate that evidence, which is where the research funding would come in. But then the idea that if it is truly a useful and relevant social innovation, that it would just become standard of practice. So in Alberta, we have this amazing gift of strategic clinical networks. And yes, they're on the health side, but they recognize health as defined quite broadly.
Of course.
And so the innovations that we've been doing in neonatal intensive care, and I didn't know it at the time, but we got into this pipeline, and it went from the idea to generating the gold standard evidence, and then very quickly, because the evidence was so good, into standard of practice.
Is it fair to say that the wild card in innovating socially is politics? You can't plan for politics and how it changes.
Well, I would speak to small p, politics. Since I started as an academic 20 years ago, the decision makers, the policy decision makers, have become considerably more sophisticated. One of the former presidents at the University of Alberta wrote some of the first work about how governments, how philanthropists, how people are generally looking at accountability. And so people who make decisions about how to spend money are increasingly more sophisticated because they're called on to be accountable for their decisions. And so they, I believe, and it may not happen every time, but I believe that they are much more likely in this day and age to look to the evidence to inform their decisions. I was devastated as a new researcher coming in. I read a paper and it said that most decisions, and this was in the, 2000s, most decisions were based on, well, what their friend in the next province was doing. I don't think that happens as much anymore because of that entire shift to accountability. And increasingly, the decision makers have become very sophisticated in using evidence or helping to generate it.
Okay, I'm going to go back to a question and ask it a different way.
Oh.
as we approach the end of our conversation, is there anything that worries you in the space of social innovation?
The only worry in that social innovation space is trying to recognize all the great work that's already being done and how to not duplicate, which is not efficient and to me a waste, but how to capitalize on that great work that's being done to move us forward. I know from reading a recent environmental scan that was done of post-secondary institutions in Canada, looking at what kinds of social innovation strategies they were using at these different post-secondaries. And the bottom line is the University of Calgary is already using some or all of them to a degree. My worry is that we need to be able to keep up because there's a lot of great ideas. So we're going to have to grow the supports and that those communities of learning and practice. We're going to have to really ask a lot of questions, tap into what's there already in terms of programs and supports and resources for everyone in that social innovation space. And how do we connect the dots? And how do we have everyone sort of coming together to recognize from the inside, but also from the outside, that the University of Calgary is a special kind of social innovator? Mm-hmm. It's sort of bringing people together. And I'm good at that. It's just with this position, there's a lot more people and a lot more faculties.
Yeah, it just expands upon all of your experience of bringing people together. But I can feel it. There's no one better for the job than sitting here across from you and feeling your energy and how inspired and unbothered you are by barriers. I've tried to ask the question twice. Is there a possibility? Is there an avenue? Is there free space for anyone listening in the social research ecosystem to reach out to your office, to either yourself or Amy, in order to begin connecting those dots, maybe make your job a little bit easier because you'll see more dots right away?
Yeah, there's a new website that Tara launched, I think, yesterday at 4:30, just in time for today. And so there's a website, and it will enable you to connect directly with Amy or me. I'm just Karen Benzies. So
just Karen
Benzies. Just Benzies at ucalgary.ca. So that's me. And my graduate students know I'm pretty quick on turnarounds with emails, even at midnight.
I can feel it by your energy and by the fact that you're describing yourself as being ready to turn stuff around right away and take on any project that's thrown at you. So that website address, and Tara that you speak about is my colleague in as a strategic communications specialist in the Office of the Vice President Research. I will share Tara's website, your social innovation initiative website, as part of this episode. So please look in the description of this episode as you're listening to lead yourself to that website. Karen, an absolute pleasure to speak with you. We spoke at length before we even hit record, and I hope to have so many more conversations to pick your brain. Thank you so much for joining us on Now Innovating.
It's been my pleasure.
Now Innovating is produced in partnership with CJSW 90.9 FM. From the Office of the Vice President Research at the University of Calgary.